Begin our reading in verse number 1, a familiar passage of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. The Bible says this: Now faith cometh by, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, that would be faith, the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray you would help us as we look at your word. I pray that you would give us an understanding for what it means to walk by faith each and every day. And I pray that you would direct our thoughts. Lord, we are a burdened people. Many things happening in our life, and these things can quickly take our attention. But Lord, I pray in these next few minutes that our attention would be focused on you, that we would listen, that we would be attentive for what you have for us, and may you be glorified. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll never forget the day when we first arrived at Kitchener to help Pastor Clayton here at Kitchener Baptist Church. We had just purchased our second used car. It was a Mercury Mistake. It was a Mercury Mystique. And so we just purchased that used car, and we were excited about it. And we decided, my wife and I decided, that we would take it for a stroll on the open road. And so we hit the open country, and we were driving through that open road and just enjoying the beautiful day that God had made. And as we were making our way, we quickly found out that new vehicle had a feature that most cars had, but this car did not have. It did not have a warning light. You know, when you're driving and you're low on gas, and that warning light comes up and it tells you, hey, you need fuel. Well, this vehicle didn't have that. I mean, it had the gauge, but who really looks at the gauge, right? I'm looking for that warning light, and there was no warning light. And so we just kept on driving until we couldn't, and the car stopped. And there we were on the side of the road. We had no fuel. We couldn't go forward. You know, fuel is essential for going forward, in a car, that is. A car cannot drive without some type of fuel. And a Christian will not go forward if they do not have the fuel of faith. You see, faith, like fuel, is essential in the Christian life. Someone said, so on I go, not knowing. I would not if I might. I'd rather walk with God in the dark than to go alone in light. I'd rather walk by faith with him than to go alone by sight. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, or the justified, we're talking about a Christian here, shall live by faith. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, and I really hope that you are, I really do, then we are to walk by faith each and every day. It was Charles Spurgeon who once said, a little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but a great faith will bring heaven to your soul. And if we're going to be successful in our Christian life today, then we're going to need faith to accomplish it. Now, faith begins at salvation. We are saved by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The condition of the soul of man is like a child who's in a burning building and, having escaped to the edge of the window, hung on by that windowsill. The flames were pouring out of the window underneath, and the poor lad would soon be burned or fall and be dashed to pieces. And he therefore held on with the clutch of death. He did not dare relax his grasp until a strong man stood underneath and said, boy, drop. Drop, boy, and I'll catch you. Now, it was not saving faith for the boy to believe that the man was strong. That was a good help toward faith, but he might have known that and yet still have perished. It was faith when the boy let go and dropped down into his arms. And there you are, sinner, clinging to your sins or to your good works. And the Savior cries to you, drop into my arms and I will save you. It is not doing, it is leaving off doing. It is not working, it is trusting in the work which Jesus had already accomplished. And by faith, we drop into the arms of the eternal God. By faith, he holds us strong and firm, and we can trust today in the finished work of Christ to save us. But listen to me, faith doesn't stop at salvation. We continue to live the faith way. The Bible says in Colossians 2 and verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How did we receive the Lord Jesus? We received him by faith. And the Bible says, so walk ye in him. Continue to walk in faith. We received the Lord by faith, and we continue to walk by faith each and every day. So I want to give you some thoughts this morning. I hope will be a blessing and a help to your life. I want to talk a little bit about faith this morning. Number one, if you're taking notes with me, would you write down the definition of faith? The definition of faith. I believe the definition of faith can be found in Hebrews chapter 12. Would you turn there with me? Hebrews chapter 12. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Let's define what faith means. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Bible says that God desires each of his children to move forward. God wants us to run the race that is set before us. And how is this accomplished? How can we be successful in accomplishing this? Well, the Bible says, lay aside every weight. And the Bible says, lay aside the sin that so easily besets us or sidetracks us. And the Bible says, run with patience or run with endurance the race set before us. And this is an individual race. Your race and my race are different races. We have different hurdles. We have different struggles. And it's unwise for you to look at another Christian and say, hey, why are you going through this? Or why am I going through this and you're not? And the Bible says that's unwise. Run your race and run it with endurance. This is an individual race. And our race has unique features that no one else will have. But God will give us grace to run our race and to be successful in our race. So how do we run the race? We run it by faith. Well, what's faith defined? Verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible teaches us that the just, the justified, shall live by faith. And how is this accomplished? Well, it's defining what faith is. Faith is looking unto Jesus. Faith is keeping our eyes unto him. Every decision that we make, we must acknowledge God in our life. The very fact that you came to church this morning is acknowledging God in your life. It's understanding that, listen, I need to take time in my busy week, and I need to come and worship with God's people because God's important and God's word is important, and you're acknowledging the Lord, and faith is acknowledging God. It's looking to God in your life. Every trial that you face in your life, and maybe you're dealing with a trial or a burden today, it's seeing God in it and his work through it. Every circumstance, every turn and every twist on the road of life, it is seeing God working in these times. It is keeping our eyes on the Lord and our focus on Him. The hymn writer said, "Oh soul, are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." So what is the definition of faith? Faith is looking unto Jesus. Number two, would you write it down? The description of faith. So how do we describe this faith? Well, look what the Bible says in Hebrews, back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, faith, the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." How do we describe this faith that we have? Well, first of all, I want you to think about this word, confidence. Faith is confidence. Faith is believing God, having confidence in God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance is, it's an important word here. It means to stand. The Greek word hupo, it means to stand under. And thus it speaks of our foundation in our life. It speaks of the ground on which we build our life and our hope. And the Bible says that our life as a Christian is filled with substance. We have confidence in our life. You have confidence in things this morning that you never even thought twice about. I mean, you had confidence that your car was going to start. Unless you own a Mercury Mystique, then maybe not. Or Mistake, whatever name you want to call it. You had confidence that the roof was going to hold. And that's why you walked in this morning. In fact, you had confidence that when you came into the auditorium, you had confidence that your chair was going to hold you up. You didn't even think twice. You just sat down. You had confidence. Faith is confidence. And our Christian life is filled with this confidence. You see, as a Christian, we're a hopeful people. We're a hopeful people. This confidence that we have as a Christian, it is based on the promises and the personality of God, His nurture and His nature. In fact, let's turn to the book of Hebrews once again Let's turn back to the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and notice what the Bible says in the 6th chapter. Our confidence in God. This is faith. It's believing God and what God has to say. And our confidence comes from His promises, and it comes from His nature. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things, the word immutable there, it means unchangeable. So there are two unchangeable things that give us as Christians a strong consolation or a strong confidence in God. And those two immutable things are described in Hebrews chapter 6, and they are the oath and the promise of Almighty God. The oath and the promise of Almighty God. We can have a strong consolation and confidence in God because of these two things. God gave us an oath and God gave us a promise. And by the way, all of this is wrapped up in who God is. Because the Bible says, in which it was impossible for God to lie. So when God gives a promise, it's not that God won't lie, it's that God cannot lie. And so when we look at God and we think of our confidence in God, it is based on the promise that He made, but more than just His promise, it's based on the fact of who He is. He is a God that when He makes a promise, He always keeps His promise. And that's a pretty strong consolation. That's a pretty strong confidence that we can have in God. So how is your confidence in God today? I love what A.W. Tozer said. He said, anything God has ever done, God can do now. Do you believe that? Anything God has ever done anywhere, he can do here. And anything God has ever done for anyone, he can do for you. Because that's the God that we serve. And you can have confidence in God. But not only is faith described as confidence, it's also described in this word confirmation. Because God always proves himself faithful. And in fact, the Bible gives to us great examples of this. The Bible says that it is the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen describes that God will show up. God will always prove himself to be trustworthy. And the Bible gives us examples of this. The Bible says the elders obtained a good report. They had confidence in God. They had faith in God. And it led to the confirmation that God did exactly what he promised to do. We think about the creation of the world. We have confidence today that God created the world. And this is proven today by the complexities that has been seen all around us. In fact, the Bible says only a fool would believe that there is no God. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. The psalmist said he gathered the waters of the sea as a heap. He layeth up the depth into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathens to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. God proves that he is the true and only God in our world today. You know, I've never scientifically tested this theory out, but I'm told that if you take 8 dice and you throw them on the ground, the probability of those 8 dice landing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the chances of that happening is 1 to a trillion. And we're talking about 6 simple die. We're not talking about the complexities of DNA. We're not talking about the complexities of a cell and all of that stuff. We're talking about 8 single, simple die. And yet our world wants to believe that everything and all the complexities that we see in our world was just chance. Boy, are we lucky. Wow. It doesn't make sense, friend. God is the creator of all. And the Bible says we have confidence that God is the creator of all these things. You say, but Pastor Burns, what about all the science that disagrees with creationism? I say that one day it'll catch up, because the Bible is always truth. And God, we can trust. We can have confidence in who he is. The Bible says, what about Noah? Noah had faith and confidence in God. Do you know what Noah did? He built an ark. He believed that it was going to rain, and so he built an ark, and God proved to be true. It rained, and God closed the door of the ark. Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, all of these individuals had confidence in God, and God kept his word. And friend, today you can have confidence in God. I'm here to encourage you, Christian, and remind you, Christian, that according to the personality and according to the nurture and nature and the promises of God, that God will prove that his promises are true in your life. Wherefore, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. The word confounded is to have feelings of fear and feelings of shame. I tell you, friend, if you have confidence in God, you will never have shame. You will have confidence. God will show and prove himself to be true in your life. God won't let you down. God will show up. God will always keep his word. But thirdly, I want us to notice the declaration of faith. Notice what the scripture says back in the 11th chapter, verse number 5. And notice what the Bible says in these few verses here. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. One day he was, and a moment later he was not. Because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why did Enoch please God? Well, the Bible gives us the answer to that. The Bible says, but without faith. Enoch was a man of faith. Enoch was a man who had confidence in God. And the Bible says that because of the faith that Enoch had, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Do you want to please God with your life? The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because first of all, we must believe that he is. That makes sense. And then also we must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me give you some thoughts, if I could, about the declaration of our faith. First of all, I think it's important for us to talk about the object of faith. The Bible says that he that cometh to God. There are so many people today that would claim to have faith, but they have faith in the wrong object. There are people today who have faith in faith. Well, I'm just going to have faith, but it's not just having faith, it's faith in God. God is who makes the difference. Some have faith in men, maybe a preacher or a pastor or a teacher. Some people have faith in money. Others in our world today have faith in material gain. Some have faith in religion or church or organization or an organization. And yet the Bible says that we must come to God. Our faith is found in God. In God. But not only the object of our faith, think about the decision to have faith. We must have faith in God and trust the Lord. But we must make the decision today in our life that we are going to have faith. Someone said this, have you prayers that seem to be unanswered? Anxious moments, trials hard to bear? Have faith in his promise, unfailing God will hear, and he will answer your prayer. Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith can calm the troubled sea. Faith can make a desert like a fountain. Faith can bring the victory. Make the decision in your life today. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to have confidence in God. God hasn't failed anyone yet. He's not going to fail me. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to walk by faith. And as you make this decision to have faith, I want you to understand this. This is a living faith. This is a faith that impacts your life each and every day. Turn with me to the book of Mark. Turn there, Mark chapter 2 in our Bibles. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 and verse number 3. This is a living faith. Mark chapter 2 and verse 3. You know the story. Maybe you're familiar with this wonderful passage. The Bible says this, Mark chapter 2, and we'll begin our reading in verse 3. It says, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto them for the press," that's not speaking of newspapers and television and stuff, it's talking about the crowd of people. "They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." The Bible says in verse 5, look at this, "And when Jesus saw their faith," how do you see faith? Well, it's acted out. It's acted upon. The Bible says they saw, Jesus saw their faith, and he said unto the sick of a palsy, "Thy son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Their faith acted. It was revealed in the way that they lived their life each day. Someone said the opposite of joy is not sorrow. For a Christian, the opposite of joy is unbelief. Unbelief. The hymn writer said, "I'm so glad I've learned to trust in him." And remember this morning that the promises of God, they're not tangible. You can't reach out today and grab a promise of God, but they are traceable, and God proves himself to be trustworthy, and so we must believe God in every area of our life today, and this means we act upon that faith, and so I encourage you today to trust God with your health, and trust God with your finances, and trust God with your marriage, and trust God with the trial you're facing, and trust God with those burdens that are weighing you down, and trust God with your children. Have faith in God, and this faith is not just spoken of, it's acted upon, and it's revealed in your life each and every day. I remember going, I was a part of a funeral many years ago, and a gentleman had passed away. His children were not Christians. And I remember standing around that casket, and the children were all there. And one of the sons came up to me, and I'll never forget this. He said, "I'll tell you this. I didn't always agree with my dad and his religion, but I'll tell you this. He sure believed God." Isn't that a wonderful testimony to have? Isn't that a wonderful testimony for us to leave to our children, that we believe God? That we have faith in God, and this faith is a living faith, and it's acted upon in our life each and every day. It's easy to have faith in here. It's a lot harder to have faith out there. And so as you live your life, you must act upon your faith in God. But not only does this faith have to be acted upon, that this faith in God changes our life. You have faith in God, you'll never be the same. And the Bible says in Mark 2, verse 11, "And I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." Faith in God makes the difference in your Christian life. I'm not saying that you'll never face hard problems or difficulties. I'm not saying you'll never face disappointments. That's not my message at all. I'm just saying that you'll never go through those storms alone. And God will be there to help you. I'm saying to have faith in God is to have confidence in God that he's going to show up and he's going to guide you and he's going to direct you. And many times in our prayers, we're saying, "God, do a removing job," but God's interested in doing an improving job. And so God will use that trial in a terrific way to build our faith so that we can face even tougher situations down the road. But all of it, our faith in God is for the glory of God. Look what the Bible says, Mark chapter 2, verse 12.
The Bible says, and immediately he arose and took up his bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying he never saw it on this fashion. When we live by faith, God gets the glory. And we think of Hebrews chapter 11, we think of Noah, we think of Abraham, we think of Moses, and all of these individuals, we think of Sarah, all of these individuals lived by faith, and God received the glory in it. God received the glory. To God be the glory, great things he has done. The Bible gives us the commentary of Abraham's life in Romans 4, verse 20. It says that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, God was also able to perform. That's what faith is. It's a confidence that God's going to show up. It's a confidence that if God makes a promise, he's going to keep the promise because God cannot lie. It's a promise. It's a confidence in the nature and the nurture of Almighty God. And so we march forward in the night, trusting God that he said that he would help and direct us. But I want to close this message speaking quickly of a faithless life. Jesus often used the expression, "O ye of little faith." And I think it's important for us that we understand it is natural for us to lean on our own understanding. We have to learn to lean. We have to learn to have faith in God. We naturally want to do it our own way and follow our own pathway. And so the Bible says, Jesus said, "Consider the lilies, how they grow, and they toil not, and they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith?" It is natural for us to follow a faithless life. And what's the result of a faithless life? You say, well, what's the difference? Well, I'll tell you what happens when you live a faithless life. Number one, you limit God in your life. You limit God. The Israelites in Psalm 78, verse 41, the Bible says, yea, they turned back and tempted God. And the Bible says they limited the Holy One of Israel. You don't want to limit God. Think about this for just a moment. It is never about what God can do. Because God can do anything. But it is always what you will allow God to do through you. And God is limited by your unbelief and disobedience. It is never about what God can do. God can do anything. But God is limited by our unbelief and our disobedience. And if we decide that we are not going to have faith in God, then we limit God's work in our life. Number two, we begin to sink. We begin to sink. You say, Pastor Burns, you lost me. I had you on you limit God, but you begin to sink. I don't get it. Let me give you this illustration. Peter was a wonderful character in the Bible. Amen to that. I mean, I think Peter kind of, he's the guy who says what you want to say. And Peter was the only one who stepped out of the boat and walked on water. You say, yeah, but he sunk. Yeah, but have you ever walked on water? And ice doesn't count. And so we had faith in God. And I believe that Peter walking on water is a wonderful illustration of salvation. It's the impossible life. I mean, for a Christian, you say, the Christian life is hard. It's not hard, it's impossible. You need the grace of God. Christ living through you is the Christian life. And Peter was walking on water. He was living the impossible life. But then he started to sink because he thought to himself, wait a minute, I can't walk on water. What in the world am I doing? This is impossible. He saw the storms. He saw the waves crashing. The wind is blowing in his face. And he started to doubt and he began to sink. And the Christian today that does not turn their eyes upon the Lord, by the way, that is the definition of faith. And the description of faith is to have confidence in God, in his nature, and in his nurture in our life. The Christian that starts to look at the storms, they don't strive in their Christian life. They don't go forward in their Christian life. They begin to sink. And maybe today, if you were to describe your Christian life, you would say, Pastor Burns, I think I'm beginning to sink. The waves are crashing, the burdens are pressing, and I just need a pause today, and I'm glad I'm here, because I need a pause today, and I need to turn my eyes upon Jesus. Because we serve a wonderful Savior, a wonderful God who loves us and cares about us, and he wants us to go forward. The daughter of Karl Marx said this. She said, I was brought up without religion. And she said, I do not believe in God. But I came across a prayer in an old German book one day. And it said, Our Father which art in heaven. And she said, I thought to myself, if the God of that prayer existed, I think I could believe on him. And I'm here to tell you today that he does exist. And he is the true and living God. And he loves you so. And he cares about you so. And you can have confidence in him. Faith every day. You see, it's looking onto Jesus. It's confidence in God. It's trusting in his promises, who he is. It's believing that God will always show up. And our declaration is simple. We must have faith in God. A living faith that's seen in our life each and every day. That changes our life and our direction. And by the way, God always gets the glory for all of it. The reality is, it doesn't make sense for a Christian to trust God with their eternal soul, but not trust God with their finances, and not trust God with their health, and not trust God with their workplace, and not trust God with their children. Fear says, God may fail me. Faith knows he keeps his word. Faith knows he keeps his word. Hitherto the Lord hath helped me. Doubting now would be absurd. God help us today, in these days, to have faith in God. It's the fuel for the Christian life. One New Year's Day in the Tournament of Roses parade, a beautiful float suddenly sputtered and quit. It was out of gas. And the whole parade was held up until someone could get that float, a can of gas. And the amusing thing with the whole circumstance is that this float represented the Standard Oil Company. I mean, think about it. With the vast oil resources, its own truck was sitting in a parade out of gas. Keep your tank full this morning. Have confidence in God. And trust in him. I'm going to leave you this morning with the words of our Savior. In Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus said this. And Jesus answered and said unto them, simple now, have faith in God. Amen? Have faith in God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to look to you and to acknowledge you in our life. And I pray, Lord, first of all, if there's an individual here that's not a Christian, I pray that today they would put their faith and trust in you before it is too late.